From the Len de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 7th day of April, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and will help us take a look at the futures markets. In fact, if you'd like to hear more from Kurt, you can do that in person with him tonight at the Champaign County Farm Bureau. Kurt, along with Jackie Vakes and Jason Clapp, will be there for the regular marketing meeting. It is open, starts at 7 o'clock out on Country Fair Drive right here in Champaign County, the Farm Bureau / Extension building tonight at 7 o'clock. I kind of hope to see you there. We'll talk about the commodity markets. We'll do that twice today. In fact, we'll talk about the cash grain market today, too. The folks at the Andersons will be here, and along the way, we'll check the weather forecast with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies. Mark Russo should be here on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Checking now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago at the CME Group for this Monday. May wheat futures at $6.76 and a quarter for the soft red, settled 6.5 cents higher. July at $6.83 and a half, up 7 for the day. The hard red, July at $7.46, finished 7.5 cents higher. May corn futures at $4.99 and a quarter, settlement price down 2.5 cents. July at $5.05 and a quarter, down 2.25, and September at $5.05 and a half, a penny and a half lower. December, or the new crop in the corn pit, at $5.05 and one half cents, down a penny and a quarter, and the March contract at $5.12 for next year, down a full penny for the day. May soybeans at $14.64 and a quarter, 9.5 cents lower. July at $14.48 and a quarter, down 6.75, and August futures at $13.72 and three quarters, down a penny and 3 quarters. September $12.57 unchanged. November $12.08 and a quarter, down a quarter, and January contract in the bean pit at $12.13 and a quarter, finished the day unchanged. May bean meal at $4.74.30, down 4.80, and May bean oil $41.43, down 14 cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the April at $143.02 and a half, down 2.5 cents. June at $134.92 and a half, up 12.5 cents for the day. April feeder cattle at $177.50 were down 20. May at $178.85 were up 32.5 cents. April lean hogs $125.02 and a half, $1.87 and a half higher. May futures gained just 25 cents at $120.75, and June lean hogs at $121.67 and a half were $1.12 and a half higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures nearby contract at $100.57, down 57 cents. The RBOP, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $2.92 and 4 tenths, that's 0.7 cents lower. Ethanol futures at $2.32 and 2 tenths, down 8 and 2 tenths. And natural gas for the day at $4.47 and a half cents, up 3 and 6 tenths of a cent. Diesel fuel, a penny and 6 tenths lower today at $2.89 and a tenth a gallon. And the gold futures finished at $1,298 even, down $5.20. The U.S. dollar trading 80.23. That's down 0.18 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Rain, a high of 52 degrees, north winds at 17 miles an hour, though gust to 23. It will rain. There is a 100% chance of rainfall in the area. Showers mainly before 8 p.m. this evening, low about 40 degrees west, winds at 8 to 15 miles an hour, the gust to 18, and the chance of rainfall for the evening also set at 100%. Tonight, or rather tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers. That after 8 a.m. in the morning, Central Time, mostly cloudy, a high of 53 degrees, and tomorrow evening, a 30% chance of showers before 8 p.m., partly cloudy, and a low of 34. Sunny skies on Wednesday, a high of 60 degrees. On a northwest wind at 8 to 10, mostly clear on Wednesday evening. It'll drop to 44 degrees, and Thursday, sunny skies, and all the way up to 69. Maybe we can breach the 70 mark. It will be breezy Thursday night, a shower or two, mostly cloudy, and 44 degrees. And Friday, a chance of showers, mostly sunny, a high near 65. Friday evening, partly cloudy, and a low of 44. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Mark Russo. He's at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. A couple of things. Don't forget tonight you can join us at 7 o'clock at the Champaign County Farm Bureau / Extension Building out on Country Fair Drive right here in Champaign, Illinois for another one, maybe one of the last ones before we hit the planting season. I suspect that will be the case. Ag Outlook meetings. Our guests this evening will include the man we'll talk to in just a few moments, Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson will be along. Also with us this evening, Jason Clapp of Risk Management Commodities. It's open free to the public. Join us at 7 o'clock. I'll arrive right at that time because I'll be over at the Common Ground Food Co-op just prior to that, working on some local foods issues and some coverage you'll hear maybe tomorrow or later in the week on this program. But tonight, the Will Ag Marketing Panel is open to you. It's at 7 o'clock this evening at the Farm Bureau Building. Again, Kurt Kimmel, Jackie Vakes, and Jason Clapp will be on hand. I hope to see you there. The other thing is that right now I'd like you to dial this number. It's 217-244-9455. Let me repeat that for you. 217-244-9455. Why? Because we're in the middle of our spring pledge drive for WILL, the public radio station from which this program comes to you, no matter whether you're listening on one of our radio stations or on a website, on your phone, on your computer, on a radio. However you do it, it's important that you pledge your financial support to the programming that comes to you from WILL that's all about agriculture and commodity agriculture in particular. We have made a commitment here at the radio station to service the commodity groups in the state of Illinois and across the Midwest and across the nation that grow corn, soybeans, wheat, cattle, hogs, those commodities that are most important to the survival of our world. And the way that we feed it, we hope that you think that makes a difference in your bottom line, especially if you're part of that kind of agriculture. And if you are, I'm going to suggest that you pledge your financial support at 217-244-9455 or just hit the red contribute button up at the top of the page at willag.org, maybe at the $200 or $240 level. I think that's about right. We haven't raised that amount for you for a long time. 120 is great. 100 is fantastic. 40 is fine. Whatever you can give. But let's start at the $200, $240 level and work one way or the other from there. Do it right now. 217-244-9455. We're here for you each and every business day of the year talking about the commodity markets. We hope that you enjoy the programs. We try to bring you really good marketing information, really good information from the folks at the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois that are working on agriculture. It's a service provided to the Midwest's largest industry, agriculture, and we hope that agriculture appreciates it. If you do, if you live and work in agriculture in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Missouri, all the other states, Texas, that happen to listen to our programming, then we hope you will help us out. Whether you do it on the website, hit contribute again at the top of the page at willag.org or at 217-333 or 217-244-3455. However you do it right now. Pledge that financial support and thank you in advance.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Too many numbers swimming around in my head. The number, of course, is 217-244-9455 to pledge your financial support. On this Monday afternoon, let's turn our attention to the commodity markets. As usual, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, is on the phone line to decipher what happened in Chicago at the CME Group. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You know, first off, I'm looking forward to seeing you this evening at the Champaign County Farm Bureau Building tonight at 7 o'clock.
Oh, boy, that's always a good event to attend. A lot of good questions and conversation.
Nice folks. We can count ourselves lucky. We've got rainfall in the area, and producers haven't made it into the field yet, so I'm hoping we have a nice ice crowd tonight.
Looking forward to it.
All right, so let's take them through what we know about the commodity markets, what happened today.
Well, consolidation is probably the best word. It seems or feels like the trade's waiting for a next piece of information to give it some direction to go with. Commodity funds have been heavy buyers here since the middle of January, and we're at a point where we're reaching objectives that warrants a little back and filling until we get that next bit of news. And I know your next question, what news will that be? Well, probably the Wednesday's WASD numbers. You know, the trade's kind of dialed in to have old crop corn carry out about 1.4. Beans around 139 million bushels. We'll not have any of the new crop estimates, though they'll be in May, where they plug in the acreage and their expectations of demand. Accompanied with that, on Wednesday, we will see some revised world numbers, but they don't look for a significant change in those, Todd.
So Wednesday is the day we look forward to. This is kind of the wrap-up of a series of numbers. March was heavy laden and always is with USDA reports, and then we have some serious numbers that come out in April, too, to follow those up. WASD is the first chance that the World Agricultural Outlook Board has really to put into context, in particular, the prospective plantings and the grain stocks numbers. You said that we're not really expecting a whole lot of change, but it does continue to set a tone for the marketplace. And that tone, in your opinion, is in which direction for corn and soybeans?
Bullish. You know, we're seeing a situation from last winter here, the worry of slowdown demand, but demand's been strong. Ideas of larger acres, which is somewhat true in the bean complex, but yet the corn, you know, acreage isn't quite there. So we've got an uptrend going right now. The trend is your friend. So as a trader, as a commodity trader, you got to stick with the assumption that this market's going to continue to climb the wall of worry here over the short term. Now, that being said, though, if you're a risk manager, you know, involved in agriculture and a producer, you got to take advantage of this move in here and sort of incorporate some risk management tools here to protect your downside. So if the weather cooperates and we see acres get planted, and if someone happened in the world where this demand would slow, we've got some downside protection, because when we visited last winter with a lot of producers, producers felt the pain of break even, or the fear of not being able to break even with bean prices towards $11. And the prospects of corn going down to $4.
And so is your primary goal to protect the difference between the crop insurance setting month of February and current price, or are there other things that you're driving towards?
Well, there's various things you can do. One natural response is, well, I've got crop insurance, which is, you know, some risk management, true, but that crop still needs to be sold. Then, two, there's uninsured bushels or that need to be covered, too. But we've been coming in and attacking the corn and bean market, 50 cents in corn and $1 in beans, feeling that if this market goes down, that extra 50 cents in corn, that extra $1 in beans would be beneficial to help that bottom line.
Take me through the lean hogs very quickly. They look like they may have topped.
Well, we've had such a run-up on fears. Basically, a hog and pig report didn't show the drawdown they expected in numbers at this point in time. Then China coming out and talking about live imports of hogs being put on hold because they didn't want to have their virus brought into their country. Generated some significant long liquidation. Also, too, when you look at the overall weight gains, we're seeing an extra 8-9 pounds on the hogs, and so we're starting to see some heavier weights come in with some supply to work with. But overall, the trade still remains fearful that as we get into the summer, we're going to start seeing some smaller numbers.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good.
That is Kurt Kimmel. We'll talk with him again this evening. That'll happen at the Champaign County Farm Bureau tonight at 7 o'clock.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Okay, let's start dialing some numbers. We can dial these numbers, 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455 in the midst of our spring pledge drive, just getting a good start. Dave Dickey and I would really like you to pledge maybe $200, $240. $120 is perfectly fine. That's what we usually ask for you. But I think it's time, since you've had pretty good profits for 5 years, and I know you're looking at something a little different now, but it's time to up the ante just a bit. So let's go with $200 to begin with, and we'll get things started. And if you do, we have a whole lot happening. Les Schulte is in studio with us, don't we, Les?
We do. You're a very generous man, Tom.
I'm giving away somebody else's money, you bet.
You bet. We do. This is our spring pledge period, as you said. This is an important time for your public radio station, WILL, especially if you use the agricultural services we provide. That would be all the reports that we have on the air. If you depend on us to be here for you, for those reports, all the analysts you hear, the e-newsletter that we send out every week, the Ag e-newsletter, and, of course, our great website that we have that has all sorts of information. All of this is here for you when you call 217-244-9455 or go online to willpledge.org and make your contribution to WILL. And mention Ag, because when you do, we've got a special incentive going on this week. We have a group of ag businesses, loyal ag businesses, who help us out all the time. We greatly appreciate them. Here's what we're doing this year, this spring. If you make a contribution to WILL in any amount, this group of ag businesses, each of them, there's six of them in the group right now, they will each add $1 for every pledge to WILL. And they will each add $1 to the College of ACES Agricultural Communication Scholarship Fund at the University of Illinois. So that means your pledge right now certainly helps your public radio station, bumps it up a little more, because these people, like Bates Commodities, AgriGold Seeds, Total Grain Marketing, our friends at the Andersons in Champaign, Global Commodity Analytics, Farm Credit Illinois, each one of those businesses will add $1 to WILL. We'll add $1 to the College of ACES Scholarship Fund. Not a bad deal.
Not a bad deal, and it's going to Ag Communicators, my favorite.
Your favorite people.
Yeah, you know, that's one of those places. Well, I'm an alum from the U of I AgCom program, so it makes a difference to me, too.
So that $40, that $120 pledge, that $240 pledge, all goes to help support a service that you believe in, that you use here at WILL. Also, this is Pet Day. How many farms do not have a pet on the farm? An old dog that I remember. I grew up on a farm. I remember every dog we had. Blackie, you know.
You had Blackie and Brownie and Whitey
and Prince and Sooner. Did you have a Sooner?
Yeah, we did not have a Sooner.
We had an old beagle named Sooner followed us
around. We had Ted Nugent and Molly Hatchet, believe it or not.
Prairieland Feeds. They've got a $10 gift certificate they're going to put into your contribution today for every pledge above $72.
Okay.
Today only.
All right, thanks, Les. Les Schulte is here. Les Schulte is here. You can pledge your support right now at 217-244-9455. Do it online at willag.org and hit contribute. However much you give is fantastic. Thank you so much for doing so. But do it right now. Up next, the United States Department of Agriculture tries to keep tabs on how quickly food and feedstuffs are being produced and used. It can be a very difficult task, and sometimes a little unnerving. I'll have more on the disappearance of corn to feed animals this marketing year and how it's running way ahead of what most people would have expected. There's a category USDA creates in the supply and demand balance sheets for corn called feed and residual use. It, even by USDA's admission, is a best guess estimate of how much corn is being fed to animals in the United States with a dose of, well, we really don't know where this went. On top of that number, the figure is updated monthly by the World Agricultural Outlook Board. However, it is keyed off the quarterly grain stocks figure. The last report was just released, and it appears to project a much heavier feeding of corn this year than in previous years, says University of Illinois ag economist Darryl Good.
When we do the calculations of what that stock number implies for feed and residual use of corn during the first half of the year, you get a very large number, over 3.8 billion bushels, 3.85 billion, which is much larger than we've been in 5 or 6 years. And so the question is, does that rate of use, implied use at least, justify the USDA's projection for the year of $5.3 billion.
This is the feed and residual estimate from the monthly report called WASD. That stands for World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate. The quarterly grain stocks report implies more corn is being used than the WASD report has been projecting. It gets updated April 9th. The question is, will the WASD figure be changed because of the grain stocks implications?
The difficult part of answering that question is that there has been a structural change in the amount of corn that's in the feed and residual category during the first half of the year. You go back 15 years, and for a 10-year period, first half use was about 64% of the annual total. Then that jumped to 68%. The last 3 years, it's averaged 74%. So what is a normal seasonal pattern of disappearance? We don't know. But if you use 5.3 projected, then use during the first half of the year this year is about 73% of that total.
Daryl Good does not think there's enough different information for USDA to change the feed and residual number in April. However, the other categories of use may be updated to reflect greater demand for ethanol or for corn exports. All in all, his calculations predict current price levels should be reflected for the rest of this marketing year and be about the same for the 2014 corn crop. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Just a quick reminder for you to dial this number, 217-244-9455. By now you know why, so I'm not going to tell you any more about that. On the phone line with us to take up the cash grain market is Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Couple of things, Greg. First, thank you for being on Commodity Week this coming Friday. I think you got that note. And I'm kind of looking forward to having John Bonder on with us Friday.
Exactly. We're behind planting pace, and they typically get stuff planted earlier than we do. So it'll be interesting to see what the prognosis is for that area down there. And then before you know it, hopefully we'll be in the field ourselves.
Yeah, farmers are probably getting anxious when they call in. Are they complaining mostly about the cold weather and the rain or something else?
Well, actually, you know, we could use the subsoil moisture, and if the soil temperatures are cold, we can't be in the fields anyway, so we might as well get a little moisture back in the subsoil so that when it does warm up, we'll be ready to go.
Yeah, it's not really time to worry about anything. Just wait her out anyway.
Although I remember saying that last year in April, you know, and then, you know, well, we'll get in next week, and then next week turned into the following week, and before you know it, we were right up against the ideal time. So you know, it is early now, but it's amazing this the next 3 or 4 weeks can slip away pretty quickly.
That brings me to the only question I really have for you: has the trade built in too much of a premium for the delay at this point?
Probably not. I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily just the delay. I think it's the whole crop year. You know, if we have anything close to 160, 162 bushel corn, yes, we probably have too much premium built in. But, you know, if we have a crop in the 150s like we have the last few years, then we're probably right where we need to be, if not even higher. So, you know, we're hanging around $5, and it can be $4 this fall, or it can be $6 this fall, depending on the weather. And I think it more depends on the weather in the summer during pollination time, more so than the spring weather, although, you know, I'm assuming we're going to get corn planted sometime in April and May.
And just very quickly, your bids.
Okay, cash corn tonight is 487. New corn is 480. Cash beans are 1474, new beans 1188, and new wheat is 663.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
It's National Cordon Bleu Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1828, Gasparius van Woden of Amsterdam patented chocolate milk powder. In 1871, Mary Florence Potts of Ottumwa, Iowa, patented the Mrs. Potts Sad Iron. It featured a detachable handle so several iron bodies could be heated and used in turn as one cooled down. Three irons, one handle, and one stand were sold as a set. In 1883, Peter Cooper died. Cooper obtained the first American patent for the manufacture of gelatin. In 1895, a cough syrup manufacturer, Pearl B. Waite, purchased the patent and developed a packaged gelatin dessert. Waite's wife, May, named it Jell-O. In 1887, William Cumming Rose was born. An American biochemist, he spent a decade researching human diet. His research established the importance of 8 essential amino acids in human nutrition. And in 1932, vitamin C was isolated by C.G. King at the University of Pittsburgh. After 5 years of work on untold thousands of lemons, King and his colleagues isolated a crystalline substance identified as vitamin C. King was given a patent for his isolation process, but he was denied a patent for the vitamin itself since it was a known substance that had been isolated by a different method 3 years earlier. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. It's our spring pledge drive. No matter how you listen to us, on the radio stations, on the web, on your smartphone, dial in now with your pledge of financial support. It's easy to do, 217-244-9455, or at the top of the page if you're on the website at willag.org. Just hit contribute. However you do it, make sure that you enter ag or tell them agriculture and you're supporting ag. We do appreciate it. Kind of like the $200 level this year, $120, $240, $240, $560, whatever you think is useful for yourself, please do it right now. 217-244-9455. On the phone line to take up the weather forecast, Mark Brusso. He's at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
And he's going to help us take up the weather forecast, which is rainy at the moment for our part of the world.
Yeah, this storm system will continue to work its way across the eastern Corn Belt, eastern Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, through tonight. And overall, the pattern here coming up still on the stormy side with systems moving through periodically, have another kind of band of rain coming through Thursday night into Friday, but then a more significant system evolving across the belt, actually intensifying across the belt, looks like, for Saturday night on into Sunday, likely lingering into Monday across the Corn Belt. And at this time, that looks to be a widespread rain producer, actually encompassing much of the Midwest, from southern Illinois, southern Indiana on the southern side of things, all the way up into Wisconsin, Minnesota on the northern side of things.
So the Delta region has been running a bit behind. It usually has begun the planting process, although it's behind at this. It's begun, but it's behind at the moment. What can you tell us about there?
Yeah, well, we continue to see more rain for the Delta, and the pattern across the Delta is the same as it is in the Midwest, which is an above-normal precip pattern for the next couple of weeks. So we continue to see periodic rain activity there, and so that looks to keep things on the slow side as we go into the middle part of the month.
And temperatures in both of those areas, rainfall is one thing, but we do need to get soil temperatures up.
Yeah, we do see quite a bit of variability in temperatures coming up, which is, you know, basically a classic spring temperature pattern. But if anything here, the Midwest and Delta slightly skewed on the cooler side of normal. In other words, most days will be slightly cooler than normal versus warmer than normal. But nothing that anomalous here coming up, at least as the kind of core of coldest here tends to stay up in Canada. The one thing that I would note is that some of the midday computer model guidance here is beginning to show at least some of that cold air pushing a little bit further south into the early part of next week. So coming in here tomorrow, the forecast could trend a little bit colder here for the Midwest for the first half of next week.
And as we wrap up, how would you assess the beginning of the growing season for China?
They're starting out in, call it okay shape at the present time. Their soil moisture and irrigation reserves are adequate in most areas. There are a few dry pockets, but then again, this is that time of year where they're ending the dry season, so it's not it's actually quite common where you do have some areas that have picked up less than 50% of normal rainfall over the past 3 months. But generally speaking, across their winter wheat as well as their corn and soybean acreage, they have adequate soil moisture and irrigation reserves. We do see some rain activity in the North China Plain
Mark,
coming
we have
up.
To go. But thank you so much.
Up north, there.